I am sorry, half of my screens are out, but you can still see. So indulge me and bear with me. When I originally thought about this Shabbat, I thought about giving a sermon called Destruction Shabbat. Then I thought about poor Zach, and I sort of said, well, he's going to look in the service folder when he's 50, and he's going to go, the rabbi spoke about destruction, so I decided not to do that, in your honor. Zach is going to read tomorrow the part of the Torah portion that we all know, and you know, you learned about it in a religious school. Oh, Noah, he built him, an arky. So we know all about the Noah portion, and we know that people were really, really awful, and there was a flood, and only Noah and his family survived. But there's another part of Parshat Noach that periodically we look at, but we really haven't studied together in a long time. And that's the other part of the portion, which is the Tower of Babel. And I wanted you to sort of see and read and get a sense of what this portion is all about. So we're going to read it together. You can all see that, nice and big. For those of you who can't, the person next to you will read it to you. Okay? Everyone on earth had the same language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them hard. Brick served them as stone, and bitumen served them as mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower with its top in the sky to make a name for ourselves, else we shall be scattered all over the world. The Lord came down to look at the city and tower that man had built. And the Lord said, and if one people with one language for all, this is how they have begun to act, then nothing that they may propose to do will be out of their reach. Let us then go down and confound their speech there, so that they shall not understand one another's speech. Thus the Lord scattered them from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confounded the speech of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. Okay, so at first glance, you sort of get a sense that maybe God has a problem with people. But let's go back and forget what's written there, and let's just sort of say, why is this story in this week's Torah portion? Part of the reason this story is in this week's Torah portion is that there were unfinished structures and temples all over the Middle East. People had hoped to build major structures to their deities, and these ziggurats were unfinished. And the myth that was created, not only in our Torah, but in other cultures as well, was an explanation as to why we had the foundation to this grand building, and the building never got finished. So that's the biblical archaeology answer to why the story. There were also many, many myths surrounding towers, and needless to say, artists really got excited about what might have and could have been. There were tower myths and flood myths all over the Middle East. This is also a myth to explain why we all speak different languages. Not the fact that we speak different dialects, but the fact that people of different nations can't understand each other. And so a myth gets created in any culture as to why that happened. And the Tower of Babel is the myth that ends up in our portion. Now, some people thought this was a grand building. Other artists thought it was more scary and spooky. And the tower reached into the clouds and was ready to touch God. And then, of course, in the day and age of graphics, we end up with some sort of Tower of Babel, Migdal Babel, from the Babylonian era. Now, what is important for us as Jews is the fact that this story survives it all. Just 9 lines of it. And we have to ask ourselves why. Why is it paired with the flood story? And the answer is that the flood and the tower have one thing in common. Both stories remind us that the problems created on earth were caused by human beings. In the flood story, which we will read tomorrow, the problem is Hamas, horrible, pure evil in the hearts of humanity. And according to the rabbis in the Tower of Babel story, absolute arrogance. We're going to build it, we're going to build it high, and we are going to build an edifice to ourselves. This is what happens when human beings worry about our creations more than God's creations. The danger to humanity is that we forget about the real creation of our planet and what is best for ourselves and our world, and we worry so much about the structures we have created and preserving them. Now, this is also the first covenant that God makes with the Jewish people. Zach is going to read about a rainbow. A covenant is two partners, and they make a covenant. So if Zach and I want to make a covenant, and we're having a rainbow between us, Zach has to come to the table with his part of the deal, and I have to come to the table with mine. A covenant between God and the people was a covenant between also two entities. And one might say that since we were created in God's image and God created a flood and then God zaps everybody with multiple languages, that part of being in the image of God is that God has a little bit of an anger issue. And so we have, as humanity, a bit of an anger issue and sometimes a short fuse. And so the covenant is between two beings that still need a lot of work in the ongoing work of creation. Now back to our text, because the text, the rabbis say, tells us why God did what God did. The text says, Hava Nivna Lanu, come let us build us a city. And it says, let's build this city for ourselves. Our ancestors were seeking immortality through architecture instead of seeking immortality through deeds. Our Jewish value that our students learn in our religious school, so we're supposed to create cathedrals in time, not space. We have a very modest synagogue. That's intentional. We own every single inch of this building because we paid off our mortgage. We're not mortgaged, we didn't build more than we could handle, and we managed, thanks to our brilliant treasurer, to have a balanced budget every year with great skill. We know that what's important about our synagogue is the fact that the sanctuary is full. Years ago, our confirmation students went to Temple Emmanuel in New York, and they came home and said, Rabbi, it's all backwards. We don't have enough seats for people in our sanctuary, and they have way too many. Because they had just been at services, and we had 150, 200 people in the sanctuary, and at Temple Emmanuel in New York, which can seat thousands of people, they had 40 people at services. It's kind of sad. But we know that what we build and what we put in our lives and in our synagogues is really what matters. But the rabbis say something else was going on. And the reason that God created this end of this was because the people forgot something else. To make a name for ourselves, v'na'aselanu shame. Now, if you know Hebrew, the word shame, which I have put in a box, is another name for God. So our ancestors were saying to make a God for ourselves, almost that the tower was going to bring them an idolatrous relationship. We don't need a God in the heavens because we can touch the heavens. And so that became even a worse sin for the people than just evil. And the rabbis recount in a legend one other sin. What happens when you are building a really tall structure? What are the problems that could happen? And they tell us what it's built out of, brick and stone and mortar, so that we know this was not built in the land of Israel. It was built in Babylonia, because those were their building materials. What happens if you are carrying bricks up to a multi-story building without a crane? Occasionally a brick falls, but also occasionally a person falls. And in the rabbinic literature, the sin of Babel is that people sometimes got more upset when bricks fell than when people fell to their deaths. That was the greatest sin of all. So we look at our text and we see within the text that we are given a message. We will witness natural disasters. We have natural destruction and devastation every single day. Now, I will tell you, I do not believe that any of those things are God, acts of God. In fact, my husband will tell you that I drive contracts crazy. Anytime we put in a new kitchen, I'm crossing out acts of God in the contract. Those of you who are lawyers, you would hate somebody like me. And I sit there with the lawyer or the kitchen people or the bathroom people, and I go, I will not put that act of God in the contract. It is against my religion. And they'll look at me and they'll go, well, I'll have to go back to the manager and see. And you know, even sometimes you buy a car and they put in acts of God. Really? This is like, you know, I just don't understand why we blame God for these things. So I don't blame God for floods and earthquakes and fires and hurricanes. But what we are taught in our tradition is that we are not supposed to measure the loss by what physical things have been lost. We measure loss by human life and by the tragedy to human beings. Now, you and I, living in this country, sometimes can't watch the news, can't read the news. I mean, I put on the news yesterday, and I just had to turn it off. I couldn't take one more act of gun violence, one more massacre, one more killing. There's too many people with guns killing people. There are too many people harming other people. There are too many criminals perpetrating evil. Hamas was not wiped out by Noah's flood. It is right out there in our world. This Torah portion is as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago. People really are of two minds. There are those who help in a crisis, and there are those who create absolute devastation. Our traditions say towers will come and go. We will actually leave many of our buildings unfinished. But the legacy we leave is what we put in our hearts. What does Zach need for his bar mitzvah tomorrow? He doesn't need a golden ark, although this ark is pretty tall, and they did that because, Zach, I'm tall, right? Tall rabbi needs a tall ark. You don't need a grand building, and you don't need gold and silver. You need a moment in time that is sacred, and that's what your family wants for you. That's why you did your mitzvah project, and that's why all these people have gathered. They've gathered because of what you've put in your heart. What all these wonderful teenagers, how many teenagers are in this saying? If you're a teenager, not a teenager at heart, but just a teenager, meaning 13 to 19, raise your hand. Turn around and look at how many teens are in this sanctuary. These are amazing young people who live, you can put your hands down, who live their values each and every day. You know that the Jewish value you've been taught is to build your character. We don't really care whether you build the biggest buildings or structures. Build your character and care about your planet. Now let's talk about the other part of our portion, that what our portion is there to teach us. And that is, we are way too self-absorbed. Some of you are actually going through withdrawal at this very minute. You had to leave your screens. When, oh, this screen reappeared. And God said. So there's a joke at Temple B'nai Shalom since we put in the screens. Rabbi, would it kill you to put one to the sports game on one of the screens? Many of us would enjoy services more. We are addicted to things that we are self-absorbed with doing. You know that I'm on this kick that I believe distracted drivers are killers. I really want to create a bumper sticker that says, if you are holding or touching your cell phone or have, you are a murderer. Because that is malicious intent. You are going to harm somebody. And the study this week, that more and more people think it's okay to drive stoned. Well, I don't want to be a victim of those people. We are living in a very self-absorbed era. We are building all kinds of towers to ourselves that can harm others. And when me and my addiction to technology, not me, if you call my voicemail, which you won't because I won't give you my cell phone number, my children, it says, you know I'm not going to check this message, call your father. That's what my voicemail says. Break the addiction. The Torah portion is here this week to say, if you want a flood, if you want your towers to fall, then keep doing what you're doing, humanity. But if you don't, then it is time to change. Community is more important than the individual. We're living in a day and age where people are so arrogant that when they're part of something, they can't give themselves fully. They're still, it's got to be on my terms, my way. And Judaism teaches us that community is greater than the individual, and God's agenda is greater than yours. How many people say to me, oh, Rabbi, I wish I had time for Shabbat. God rested after creating, and you can't. There is no such thing as not having time for Shabbat. Everybody has time for Shabbat. But if you are so self-absorbed in building other things, then we're missing the point. This Tower of Babel story is 9 lines long, and it is as relevant today as it was when it was written. We have and we will leave a lot of unfinished things in our lives. But the things that are going to matter, our legacy, are not the structures we create. It's the spiritual moments we share. I'm hoping that these students, when they're as old as their geezer dads, they'll remember coming to my house for Shabbat dinner. They will not remember any texts they looked at this week. They will not remember one email. But they'll remember sitting with classmates having Shabbat. Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Build a world of compassion. Build things that are truly meaningful. That's the message of Babel. Because when we do that kind of building, that's when we speak one language. Shabbat Shalom.